Advent season plus one special one, so that's great. Did everybody, I want to make sure before the message, did everybody get a stone? Everybody got a stone? You need one? You got one? You got one? Anybody who needs one? Curtis, Ivy, they're coming. I gave one out earlier, and somebody said, is this a Stephen moment? I said, yeah, you're going to get to stone me if you want. One over here, Matthew. Everybody got one? Anybody else? Need one? Matthew over there. And one more. You're going back over there. Lynn, did you get one? Yeah, we're just getting his work out here. Great. Okay. You can either throw them at me after or take them home with you, whichever you like. We've been focusing through Advent on the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah on the promise of the son, John, who is to come to them. So we hear the full prophecy. I used a bit of it last week, but the full prophecy of Zechariah when his son was born from Luke 1. Then his father, Zechariah, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit after he was born, and he prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all of our days. And you, child, you, John, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel." This is a word from our ancient and holy scriptures. There is a place in each of us, some call it the soul, that is as expansive as the universe. Imagine that. Within each of us, there is something that is as expansive as the universe. It is the place where we experience a reality that is far bigger than ourselves. It is a place beyond reason that ushers us into a place of mystery, of wonder, of gratitude. It is infinite and eternal, this place. We can only experience it when we get out of our heads. This deep, deep well within us is so expansive that we experience it as Christ in us, which allows us to see if we are open to it through Christ's eyes. Now, I guess this is a big concept. It's taken me a long time to get this myself. One, we have not even grasped in its fullness. Yet we know it to be true on occasion because we experience this bigness, this fullness, this complete immersion into life and love and goodness. It can feel so big at times that we feel like we could burst. We don't get it too often, but we experience it sometimes. Pat had a new granddaughter yesterday, Ella Grace, right? Ellie. Is it Ellie? Going to be Ellie? Ella. It's going to be Ella Grace. We experience it when we look in the face of that tiny child, right? We experience it when we look through love at any person that we are deeply in love with. Just that moment that is out of time and is so big that we can't contain it. We experience it when we experience compassion for a stranger and our hearts go out. They swell and want to help the stranger. When our hearts break for the pain of people around the world, when we see children killed in wars, our hearts are big enough to contain that pain. Sometimes we experience it when we're out in nature, in prayer or music or in contemplation, this expansive space within that can embrace the universe with hearts wide open. This place is Christ in us expanding to take in the world. It is the place where we are most fully in Christ. During Advent, we have been exploring the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of the man who became known as John the Baptist, John, the one who came to proclaim the Christ. Zechariah and Elizabeth have been unable to have children, so when John came along, they knew that God had blessed them, that their life had become bigger. However, because of Zechariah's skepticism, when he had been told that he was to have a son, he was silenced until that son was born. He could not speak for the entire 9 months. And as I said last week, that gift of silence turned out to be an amazing spiritual experience for Zechariah, as most spiritual understanding comes out of a place of deep silence and stillness. Our souls expand when we stop thinking and talking and move into that deep expansive space within us. That seems to be what was described when we again hear Zechariah's voice after 9 months. By the time John was born, Zechariah had months of this silence to ponder everything. And at the birth of John, Zechariah was able to proclaim the profound truth of God's purpose, not only in John, but for his own people and for the world. What was the message? That God, eternal and merciful, would send a Savior who would provide light in the darkness and a path toward peace, who would show people the extent of God's forgiveness, that people would know through this one to come what it means to be free, to be saved, to be whole. It was a message of love for all people and to proclaim the coming of light for those who lived in darkness. Now there are days when each of us feel that darkness in the world, in our own lives. And we need light. We need to know that we are loved. And if there is a love that goes beyond reason, it is God's love for us. God, the ground of our being, has never stopped loving us toward peace, towards salvation, towards freedom, towards new life. This love that has existed since before the beginning of time has provided everything we need for life. No prejudice, no withholding, no conditions. This love emptied itself into creation so that all life might come into being and be sustained by this eternal love. Nothing has been asked in return. That is unconditional love. We have and have always had all we need to live abundantly. This love, expansive, unlimited, and eternal, is ours all the time. The fact that we as humans have squandered or ignored the gifts, that humans have been less than appreciative of the gifts of God or have misused them terribly, doesn't mean that God withholds those gifts or is any less generous to us as humans. We still have and have always had everything we need. We can do better with what we have, so everybody has what they need. We humans on this earth for such a short period of time are still really in our infancy as human beings. We haven't been around that long in terms of creation. We have barely understood, let alone learned, how to receive and appreciate the love that God has for us. We still don't get it well. We don't know how. So we have a lot to learn still. We must go beyond reason. We have always had to go beyond reason to discover God's love for us. Because there's nothing reasonable about it. It is a love that contains the world and embraces all that has been created. This love knows no difference between God and us, because when we know that love and we love God like that, we all become one. If love were reasonable, we wouldn't love. Because it doesn't really make sense, love. Because love can be painful. People die or leave or abandon us and our hearts break. And the pain is so deep sometimes we think we never want to love again. And yet we still choose love. What we offer to others is often not reciprocated or noticed or appreciated all of the time or even often. And we still choose love. People hurt us. The ones we love most often hurt us, intentionally or unintentionally. We still choose love. Wouldn't it be more reasonable just to shut down our hearts so that they couldn't be hurt, so that we would avoid all of that pain? I did it for a lot of years, I'll tell you. It's painful to be hurt that bad, yet we still choose love. It might be easier to shut down our hearts, but our souls know that we need to love and be loved. This is God's nature and it is our nature. We need to be in relationship with the whole universe, with all people. When we are one with God, we begin to comprehend this love. God's love is big and expansive and takes in everything. And when we get this, we too can take in the whole world. When we live soulfully, that is how we live. There are lots of paths to getting to that place. All religious traditions have those paths. Mostly it's through contemplation, that intentional gaze within ourselves at all that is real. And the good news is that everybody can do it. You don't have to be a mystic to know God's love, to be a contemplative. You enter it through stillness, through silence, through this deep internal knowing that you are deeply loved and you cannot make sense of it. You have to know it. We enter into it by stretching ourselves, by finding within that eternal, unlimited space we all contained, that Christ within. We can begin to love the whole world. And I want to demonstrate that today through a story. Your rocks. You can take out your rocks, your stones. A young woman seeking to understand love went to a very wise, knowing, and compassionate rabbi. She knew he had a lot of wisdom to share. So when she asked him to teach her to love, the rabbi looked at the woman, saw something in her that he knew would somehow understand, and he said, "Start with a stone. Start to understand love with a stone. Try to love a stone." Try to be present to this most simple and basic thing so that you see in that stone goodness and beauty. Let the stone speak to you. Let it come into you, all that is good in that stone. If you want to know how to love, start with a stone. The woman nodded thoughtfully. Then he said, "When you can love a stone, try a flower. See if you can love a flower. See if you can be so present to the beauty of the flower, of the essence of the flower, that the beauty, that transcendent beauty, seeps into you. See if you can let its life flow into you as you give yourself fully to it. You don't need to pluck it or possess it or destroy it. Just love it and learn from it." The woman nodded with understanding. She would try. Then the rabbi continued, "Do you have a pet?" And the woman smiled and says, "Yes, I have a dog." "Then love your dog," the rabbi said, "without judgment. Observe, understand, listen, tenderly care for your dog. Take in all the qualities of your dog, the character of your dog." The woman smiled as she thought about her dog. She thought she could do this. Then the rabbi continued, "Love the sky and the mountains, the rivers and the fields. Love creation. Try to be present to creation in its many forms. Let it speak to you, come to you, expand you." The woman listened and said nothing, looking very thoughtful. After you've done this, the rabbi continued, "Try to love another human being. Listen to them. Be faithful to them. Don't betray them. Let them be themselves and seek to deeply understand them and take in everything you know of them. Serve them sacrificially." The woman understood what was being asked of her. It was big. It was a big task. Then the rabbi concluded by saying, "After you have loved a stone, a flower, your dog, the mountains, the sky, rivers, and earth, and another human being, then, only then, will you know how to love God and to love the whole world." Start with a stone. Let's take a moment for reflection.